Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memorable by Avram Goldhar and Tirim Zechus Bab Metzia Daf Samach Dal. The fifth parak, Ezu Neshach. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav once gave a shir about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half a malong, for a zuz. But the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds an amalong. Rav ruled that if the gardener currently has larger gourds, it's permitted, but if not, it's forbidden. The chiddush is that one could have thought that kevan de mamel karavu, since the small gourds he has will grow into large ones on their own, it's as if he has them now. Rav taught that this isn't so. This is similar to a braisa which teaches that if someone sells whatever milk my goats produce, or whatever shearings my sheep produce, or whatever honey my beehives produce, it's permitted since the yield is not fixed and may be less than the payment. However, if he stipulated an amount of produce at a discount, it's forbidden even though they're produced on their own. In another version, Rav ruled the gourd case permitted because they grow on their own. The milk, shearings, and honey do not grow from the produce, which exists initially, but replace it, whereas the gourds themselves grow larger. Point number two, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say, if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you and my money must be refunded. If it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me and the sale remains in effect. Rev Sharevia asked him, but this should be prohibited as a transaction which is close to profit and far from loss, since he'll gain if it appreciates in value and won't lose if it sours. Because he doesn't assume all risk, it doesn't appear like a sale, and his advantage towards profit is the interest on his loan, so to speak. Abai answered that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, it's considered near to both gain and loss. And point number three, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribis, although they were not original stipulations. Rav Nachman said that although one who lives in his fellow's courtyard without the owner's knowledge does not have to pay rent, because of the principle of zeneneh v'zeh l'chaser, if someone lent money and then lived in the borrower's courtyard, he must pay rent to avoid the appearance of ribis. The Gemara said this ruling is explicit in our Mishnah and explains that the Mishnah could be where the courtyard is normally rented and the lender normally rents space to live, which would be ribis, since the borrower loses and the lender gains. Rav Nachman teaches that even where the courtyard is not normally rented out and the lender does not normally rent living space, he must still pay rent to avoid the appearance of ribis. In another version, Rav Nachman only required paying rent where the borrower originally stipulated that if he would lend him money, the lender could live in his courtyard. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rav once gave a shear about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half amma long for a zuz. But the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds an amma long. Rav ruled that if the gardener currently has larger gourds, it's permitted, but if not, it's forbidden. The chiddush is that one could have thought that kevan de mamel karavu, since the small gourds he has will grow into large ones on their own, it's as if he has them now. Rav taught that this isn't so. This is similar to a braisa which teaches that if someone sells whatever milk my goats produce, or whatever shearings my sheep produce, or whatever honey my beehives produce, it's permitted since the yield is not fixed and may be less than the payment. However, if he stipulated an amount of produce at a discount, it's forbidden even though they're produced on their own. In another version, Rav ruled the gourd case permitted because they grow on their own. The milk, shearings, and honey do not grow from the produce, which exists initially, but replace it, whereas the gourds themselves grow larger. Point number two, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say, if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you and my money must be refunded. If it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me and the sale remains in effect. Rev Sharevia asked him, but this should be prohibited as a transaction which is close to profit and far from loss, since he'll gain if it appreciates in value and won't lose if it sours. Because he doesn't assume all risk, it doesn't appear like a sale, and his advantage towards profit is the interest on his loan, so to speak. Abai answered that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, it's considered near to both gain and loss. And point number three, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribis, although they were not original stipulations. Rav Nachman said that although one who lives in his fellow's courtyard without the owner's knowledge does not have to pay rent, because of the principle of Zeh Neheneh V'Zeh Lo Chaser, if someone lent money and then lived in the borrower's courtyard, he must pay rent to avoid the appearance of ribbis. The Gemara said this ruling is explicit in our Mishnah and explains that the Mishnah could be where the courtyard is normally rented and the lender normally rents space to live, which would be ribbis, since the borrower loses and the lender gains. Rav Nachman teaches that even where the courtyard is not normally rented out and the lender does not normally rent living space, he must still pay rent to avoid the appearance of ribbis. In another version, Rav Nachman only required paying rent where the borrower originally stipulated that if he would lend him money, the lender could live in his courtyard. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Samech Daled, and our standard Siman relates to Sod, a secret, and we use this secret agent to make the Siman more distinct. So here goes. The secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow anamalang overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. Once again, slow motion. This secret agent, that must be more on Daf Samach Dalet, Sod, secret. The secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow anamalang, which reminds us, Rav once gave a shir about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half amalang, for a zuz, but the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds anamalang. In a later version of Rav, he ruled that the gourds are permitted because they grow on their own. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow anamalang overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, which reminds us, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say that if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you, and my money must be refunded, and if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, and the sale remains in effect. Abai explained that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, karv lazeh lazehu, it's considered near to both gain and loss. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow anamalang overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribbis, although they were not original stipulation. So once again, the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow anamalang overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blah Back Chazara. Daf Samach, so the Siman Daf Samach is smiley face stickers. So here goes. The happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers, that must mean we're on Daf Samach. The happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ein ma'arvin peros b'peros, sellers may not mix produce from one field into produce from another field when selling in produce on the second field, even if both grains are equally new, and he certainly cannot mix new grain into old grain for a purchase of old grain, which produces more flour. One may mix strong wine into mild wine where mild wine has been purchased, because the strong wine improves it. So, the happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, and put stickers on the nut packages to encourage children to come, which reminds us, in the next mission, Rabbi Yehuda says, a storekeeper may not distribute toasted grain or nuts to the children because he accustoms them to come to him. The chami permitted, which the Gemara explains, is because the other storekeepers can offer other treats such as figs. So the happy storekeeper who used different colored smiley face stickers to remember not to mix new grain into old grain and mild wine into strong wine, and put stickers on the nut packages to encourage children to come, had two big red frowning Neshach and Tarbi stickers pasted to a shop where a man lent money with interest. Which reminds the Gemara concludes that derais and neshech and tarbis chadim milsihi. And Rava says that the Torah only divided them into two terms, lavor labishne lavin, so that one should be liable for violating two prohibitions for these two concepts. Daf Samachov. So the siman Daf Samachov is a saw, and we use the magician doing a sawing a person in half trick. So here goes. The magician who saw the man in thirds, magician sawing a person in thirds, that must be more on Daf Samachov, saw. The magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribis, gezela, and onah, which reminds us, Rav explains why it was necessary for the Torah to write the prohibition of ribis, gezel, and onah, all which are illegally taking someone's property. So the magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribis, gezela, and onah, who then had some ribis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim, float magically above a sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, which reminds us, Rav explains why the Torah mentioned Yetzias Yisraim in connection with ribis, tzitzis, and false weights. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani hu shehivchanti b'Mitzrayim ben tipa shel bechor l'tipa she'eino shel bechor. I am he who discerned in Mitzrayim between a drop of semen, which bore a firstborn, and a drop which did not bear a firstborn, regarding Malchus Bechoros, meaning where one woman had relations with multiple men and bore firstborns for them. So too, I'm the one who will ultimately discern and punish those who lend money with interest, falsely claiming the money as a Gentile's, those who bear their weights in salt to cheat with them, and those who dyed tzitzis with indigo and claim it's the chelas. So the magician who saw the man in thirds, who was guilty of ribis, gezel, and onah, who then had some ribis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim float magically above the sheet depicting Yetzias Yisraim, concluded his show by having three dayanim appear to collect ribis katsutza, which reminds us, Rabbi Lazar says, ribis katsutza yotzba dayanim. Fixed ribis, meaning prearranged at the original loan, is collected by the judges, meaning based and forces the lender to refund biblically prohibited interest of the borrower. Avak ribis, enu yotzba dayanim. Secondary ribis, literally the dust of ribis, meaning any ribis which is only rabbinically prohibited, is not collected by the judges. Rabbi Yochanan says that even regarding ribis katsutza, basin does not force the lender to refund the interest. Three sources are provided for Rabbi Yochanan. Daf Samach Beis. So the similar Daf Samach Beis is a submarine. So here goes. The submarine admiral, submarine, that must be on Daf Samach Beis. The submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island, who didn't share his one flask of water, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a brisa discussing two people who were traveling and only one had a flask of water. If both drink from it, they'll both die from thirst, but if one drinks it, he'll survive to reach a settlement. Ben Matura ruled, Mutav Shiyishu Shneem Yamusu. It's better that both should drink and die, while Yira Echamehem B'Misaso Shel Chavero, and neither of them should see his fellow's imminent death. Rabbi Akiva came and taught that Chai Achichi Mach teaches Chayecha Kodim Chayecha Chavercha. Your own life takes precedence over your fellow's life, and the owner should drink all the water himself to survive. So the submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island, who didn't share his one flask of water, was rushing to return the ribis he took, relieved he wasn't getting malchus, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchus if the lender is exempt from malchus because of a kumase, because they are subject to a requirement to get up and do a positive mitzvah to rectify the violation. So the submarine admiral who stopped to pick up the lone survivor on a deserted island, who didn't share his one flask of water, was rushing to return the ribis he took, relieved he wasn't getting malchus, as his rabbi who was on board told him he should not even do haramas ribis in the future. Which reminds us, Gemara brings a brisa which states, Yesh dvarim shehen mutarim. There are things which are technically permitted, ba'asurim mifnei haramas ribis, but are forbidden because they are an evasion of ribis. Daf Samach Gimel. So the simmer Daf Samach Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue. Segue? That must be more in Daf Samach Gimel. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, which reminds us, Rav says, Osin amana baperos. One may make a trust, meaning an advance payment for purchase for produce, although its value may increase, being osin amana badami, but one may not make a trust for payment in the produce's later cash value. If he initially gave money and later receives money or any other substitution, it appears like ribis if the later amount is higher due to the produce's increased value. Rabbi Yannai says, Malihen malihin dmein. What difference is it to me between receiving the goods themselves and receiving their value? Since the original advance purchase was permitted, he may also substitute the produce with something else at payment. So the boy spinning around in confusion on a segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted, which reminds us, Shmuel answers the braisa which contradicts Rav is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds tzad echad beribis mutter. Ribis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted. Here, the sale only appears like ribis if he substitutes the original produce for something else, so Rabbi Yehuda permits it. Rav holds like the Rabban, who argue and forbid contingent ribis. So the boy spinning around in confusion on his Segway, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted, to ride up a ramp to the ribis sign and learn the general rule of ribis that any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden, which reminds us, Rav Nachman says, Klal de Ribisa, the general rule of ribis is that kol agad natale aser, any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do malchus if the lender with ribis is exempt from malchus because of a kumva asay? That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number two, which daf do we learn why Yitzchus Mitzrayim was written by ribis, tzitzis, false weights, and shratzim? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Good. Number three, which daf do we learn that one may make an advance payment for purchase of produce but not for payment in the produce's later cash value? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number four, which of the when a lender cannot live in a borrower's courtyard for free or at a discount, since that would constitute ribis? That's on daf Samach Dal. Good. Number five, which of the when the onaz dvarim is worse than onaz mamon? That's on daf Nonches. Good. Number six, which daf discusses advanced purchase of produce which grows on its own? That's on daf Samach Dal. Good. Number seven, which daf to discuss the general klal for ribis? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number eight, which daf do malchus regarding the case of two people stranded with only enough water for one of them? That's on daf Samach Beis. Good. Number nine, which daf do learn is better to jump into a fiery furnace than embarrass someone in public? That's on daf Nun Tes. Good. And number 10, which daf do learn that one is permitted to stipulate for a barrel of wine given at a later date regarding if it sours or if it appreciates and depreciates in value? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.